Bulls to make it 28-3. Arthur Blank loving it, up by 25. Toss to White. He's in! What a comeback!
All right, welcome back to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. On today's episode, we're going to go ahead and talk NFL Combine. Corey and I actually watched a good bit of the Combine. I think Nick kind of just listened to what we had to say via text, and not really sure he followed much of it at all.
almost none.
Off year for you, Nick, right? I mean, you usually really plugged into the Combine, right?
Yeah, I hate the Combine.
No, but I think you keep up with some of like the local guys, like the LSU guys, and see how they do.
I look at what people did afterwards, but I don't think it tells you that much.
Let me ask you this. Did the combine record for 40-yard dash get broken or not get broken this year?
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
All right.
So would you draft him higher something. Now?
I wasn't really looking at him as a guy I would draft anyway.
That's where I'm at with it. I think it's cool. I mean, good for him. I'm sure he made a bunch more money. But would that change where I drafted him from watching him and the way he, you knew he was a speed guy anyway? If he ran 4.34 instead of 4.21 or whatever it was, you know, I know it does improve his stock, and that's great for him. He did the workouts, and he's going to make more money for doing it. But, you know, from looking at it from a Saints perspective or anything like that, I don't think it means a whole lot. I think, you know, a lot of the stuff I read, McCarthy's shooting up now just because he worked out. And, you know, we've seen this before, and usually you end up on the bad side of it if you get one of these, you know, combine day crazy risers. So I've seen that too many times to get super invested in it. But, you know, it's good to see when players you do like perform well. It just kind of, you know, solidifies how you feel about somebody. Yeah. But other than that, I don't put a whole lot of stock.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned McCarthy, because it would be very good for the Saints if his stock does rise to the point where he does go in the top 10. You know, the more yep. quarterbacks that can go in the top 10 helps us out. It's going to push other really good positional guys down in the order. So, you know, fingers crossed, McCarthy goes top 10. I think he's going to. You know, I know he interviewed really well. And when you see him in interviews, he's exactly what you want from a quarterback from that standpoint. You know, it's just a very dialed in, you know, focus. He's not, doesn't seem to have any kind of prima donna tendencies to him. I know Nick wasn't a fan of the whole meditation thing before the games.
I'm not either. I still think that's weird. But no, I mean, he presents himself well. He certainly doesn't put the Derek Carr Politico speak on top of everything he's saying. He's answering the questions that are asked. He seems like a pretty real down-to-earth kid. I think that kind of goes into as well what we get out of the combine every year. You know, like you said, it's either confirmation of the guy you really want or guys, but it also is a place where, and it happens every year, where somebody's stock, especially these first rounders, gets bumped up just edges into another tier that maybe they weren't in before. You know, I think McCarthy is a good example of that. You know, has anything really changed about him, the person, or him, the quarterback? Absolutely not. But this idea of being able to get on this national stage to throw pass routes, to do workouts. He didn't run the 40, but to do things side by side with guys who are being stacked up against him every year, it pushes a guy like him from, you know, could he go top 10? Sure. Should he really go like 15-20? Yeah. But in this case, I think he, with all the talk surrounding him, it's pushed him up into the top 10 conversation.
Well, he's a quarterback too. So like if any team likes him sitting there, and I think the bigger point to what Mac's talking about of any QB that we don't want, because we've heard quarterbacks on the table, going before us is obviously better for us. Any player we don't want going before us is better for us. We have more options. But we talked about it a lot. All the teams drafting before us, what, do 10 of them really need a quarterback? If we're being honest. Like, it's a big number that you could see they're not happy with their quarterback situation. So quarterback's on the table for that many teams, better chance he moves ahead of us, right?
Now, one of the teams in front of us, having just released their quarterback, also factors in. with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. For, and last episode, we talked about, you know, who – it's a quarterback stack draft. It's an offensive tackle stack draft. And even the wide receivers are showing up. I mean, Brian – we talked about Brian Thomas. Maybe we get him to him a little bit later. But his 40 time maybe is another guy, as an example, who is maybe pushed into that separate tier. So for – when we're doing the math last episode – the quarterback number we said for the entire first round, I think, Max, you said you could see five first round total max. I think Nick and I were talking about maybe five being taken even before we pick. And I think now I think that's looking more on the table than I think it was before the combine.
Yeah, and I'll say this about McCarthy. I don't think this was the meteoric rise from the combine that it's being portrayed to be, because the reality is the NFL scouts and the coaches, they feel a certain way about the players. And then you have the media, you know, your Mel Kiper Juniors and those guys that are, I guess, building up hype, and they're saying this is where this person slotted to go. But you see it every year. I'll go back, I think it was 2 years ago with Malik Willis, and you were hearing first round. He got drafted, I want to say, in the third round. That was the Kenny Pickett year.
And he didn't.
You know, Matt Corral was another one, and there was talk about him.
He didn't. Willis didn't project to actually playing well when he got a shot.
No.
The Titans.
And Max and I went back and forth on Pickett. I think you liked him way more than me. Not that you thought he was a top
pick. No.
but you were defending. I'm like, there is no quarterback that should be drafted in the first round. But it's going to happen because the position is so important.
Absolutely.
There will be a team that's sitting there that says, look, maybe he's not it, but until we have that position, we don't have much.
Right.
They're going to go higher than they ever have, and they should. And I told Max, if you don't have a quarterback that's, you know, what I consider, you know, that second tier or up. Or
serviceable.
Every pick should be a quarterback until you get it. Because
you
have nothing until you have a quarterback.
Exactly. And I'll tell you one thing. From watching the quarterbacks throw, the most impressive one to me was Michael Penix.
I was going
to
say, because Penix, I think, also edged himself up just by the way he threw the ball.
Yeah, and the medicals.
The medicals. That was the big thing with him. But when you've got, you know...
His arm talent is off the charts.
Right.
Man.
So you follow this a ton. Both of y'all way more than I do. Why is he projected so much lower than these other guys? What is it?
I think the injury history was the biggest thing with him. You know, he had...
But that's been behind him over two years now, right?
I think injury... I think the national championship hurt him. I think playing in the Pac-12...
But even before the national championships, that's how he was viewed. Well, what is it about his game outside of the injuries? I get the injuries at Indiana, all that.
I think the biggest thing for him was getting in front of the coaches and the general managers and being able to interview. You know, we talked about how McCarthy always comes across really well. He's got that whole Peyton Manning, aw shucks, demeanor going on, you know, yes sir, no sir, all of that. Penix, you know, he's got all the talent in the world, but the injury history is fucking long. But, you know, the doctors, from what we're hearing, it looks like he's been cleared, and it looks like it's not going to be a lingering concern, because that is important. That's the biggest thing, is the medical checks. You know, and Celestri, friend of the pod, I think he went to the combine as a doctor, what, last year?
I don't know if he actually ended up going.
Anyway, he was on the list.
He reviewed medicals for sure for a whole bunch of the players for the Saints.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing to me about the combine that you're looking at is these medical checks.
We should get his take at some point before the draft on the medicals.
Yeah, definitely. But like, look at Ramchek as an example. You know, and Jamal Brown even before that. Like, we knew Jamal Brown had bad knees.
We knew he had a 5-year career, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Again, why?
Well, but going back to Penix, I think that's why you can actually. You can say what you want about the interviews. I'm not saying there's no wrong take, really, but I think that's why you can actually pair what's happening or what has happened in terms of the stock of McCarthy and Penix, because they both helped themselves a lot with this combine. They were both viewed as, the reason there were questions, or the reason I think one of the big reasons people weren't saying sure bet number 10, top 10 guy, is that with Penix, he performed. He put up numbers. Over 4,000 yards passing this year.
And not just put up numbers. It was kind of like everything was downfield. It was difficult throws. Yeah. This was not the Bo Nix.
Exactly.
They both had different reasons. Because it's like Penix put up the numbers, but everyone said, yeah, but Pac-12 defenses.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I'm giving you the reasons. So it's like, him was packed with defense. With McCarthy, it was...
But what about Caleb?
McCarthy was like, well, but Caleb's on a whole different level. With McCarthy, it was, okay, well, he seems to have all the intangibles, but Michigan's offense is going through the run and the offensive line, and so McCarthy's shown flashes, but he's not putting up these astronomical figures. So they both had different things working against them. The combine was their ability, their chance to show just their raw ability and allow guys like Daniel Jeremiah and all these pundits to say, well, they can do just as much as anything that Jaden Daniels can do or that Drake May can do. They just had to have the opportunity to show it. And
yeah, you know, and that's where I am on the combine. See, I don't think that should be a thing, really. Yeah. I think you have enough information from what you've actually seen and that it should be still weighted so much more heavily to me. Now, but I know
the on-field play should be weighed heavy. Yeah.
And I watch Michael Penix and I watch McCarthy play. The style of play doesn't bother you. You just watch them play. It's, to me, it looks like two different things. But who knows who's going to be a better pro? Like, we don't know. But I don't think the opinion of these guys who are studying these guys all year round, and all of a sudden we go for a week and we watch them throw in T-shirts, right? And all of a sudden we're like, oh, maybe he is the guy.
Against
I don't get that.
Against no pressure.
Right.
Because that's the interesting thing about the QB portion of the combine. You know, the 40, you can make, I think.
Well, only like three QBs ran the 40 this year, which is hilarious.
Oh, well, yeah. I said Sam Hartman ran it just to show off his hair. I mean, like, and it worked. Look, because also for these players, the further we go into the modern social media age, these guys are brands. You know, NIL has taught them a lot about marketing yourself as a brand. And I think a guy like Hartman, who knows he's not going to be a first-round guy, who's hoping that he's mid,
probably like six, you know, or seven.
He needs.
I'd do that.
He needs.
I would too. I like him.
No, he needs like the perception. He needs like the public attention, which, you know, in a way increases his stock. But the 40 times for the wide receivers, the linebackers, those are all raw numbers. The broad jumps, the vertical, it tells you actual measurables. I find it funny, or kind of more, I'm more on Nick's camp when you talk about the QB throwing workouts, because it's such a limited sample size.
Yeah, but let me say this, though. They're throwing to unfamiliar receivers. They're throwing to different receivers, too.
There's so many things you could say about the NFL combine throwing workouts that, you know, if you're a real skeptic, you could almost say completely invalidate what they do there. Unless a guy's like Penix, and he's, even with unfamiliar receivers, is just putting the ball in the money pretty much every single time.
Let's flip it a little bit. Max's guy, Keon Coleman, is going to fall because of this.
Because of his 40.
Right. If you've ever watched Keon Coleman, that should give you zero pause whatsoever that he ran 4.6.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you liked, I'm not saying he's going to be a star. I'm just saying if you liked Keon Coleman, you knew that wasn't his game.
Right.
You watch the way he plays. He's a beast. He goes up, high points everything. He's got a huge vertical. He's like, everything he does is still the same. And what they thought he was going to run 4.48, and he runs 4.61, and now, oh, well, he's got to drop to a second round pick. Hey, good for us. Hopefully that's who I would like too, because we don't have that type of receiver once.
He's exactly what we need in the wide receiver room. And look, I'll say this, though.
But why does he drop? That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say this. Well, though, the coolest thing, or the best advancement that I saw at the combine this year was the, and they had it last year too, I think, was the
GPS.
The GPS on the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And if you watched last year's combine, Puka Nacua got over 20 miles per hour running the gauntlet, which is fucking insane.
He was the fastest running that drill last year.
Yeah. Now, this year, Coleman got over 20 miles per hour on the gauntlet. And they were talking about, like, when you watch him do the gauntlet, if there's a straight line that they're running.
Yeah.
And when you see the guys that are weaving over the lines like they're driving home drunk, you know, that's the bad way to run it. You know, those are the ones that don't trust their hands as much. Coleman, you see him going full speed ahead the whole way through, and he's catching every fucking ball that hits his
hands. And the gauntlet drill we're talking about is one where they're running straight down the yard line, across the field. They get four or five balls thrown to him.
Horizontally.
And it's supposed to mimic the crossing route. And some of the scouts and analysts were saying, you know, former NFL personnel were saying, when you go off of that line, it now causes the ball to take a split second longer to get to you.
Yeah, you're at risk.
If you go deeper, if you're making it, you're trying to catch the ball too soon, and the timing of the route is off.
Right, right.
So,
and the corner could, in theory, jump the route if it's in a live game situation.
Oh, it's a drill. You just want them to be precise, but in reality, they were saying, you know, well, actually, these guys that are weaving, they're coming off the line because it's making it easier for them to catch the ball being hummed
right.
at him.
Right.
But
they're focused on just catching the
ball. If
there
was an actual defender following him,
can't do that.
It gives the defender space to
exactly go. The ball's probably picked at that yeah. point.
I found that part of it pretty interesting.
Yeah, and man, that to me was the biggest advancement over the last couple of years, you know, was seeing the GPS. And honestly, yeah. the 40-yard dash is trending towards being obsolete with the introduction of the GPS, because look, we can track how fast these guys are in the games.
Yeah.
You know, and that was funny because they were talking about Xavier Legette, who's another one of the wide receivers I like. He's a bigger guy, South Carolina, and he hit 23-point-something miles per hour in a game. And then people, you know, I was reading about it, and they're like, well, let's see what his 40 time is. He's probably going to run like a 4.5, something like that. And I want to say he hit under 4.4 at 220 pounds, which is fucking fantastic.
The 40 is not football.
Okay. Exactly.
It's a track race.
But in this case, it reaffirms what you see on tape with him. Because when he's hitting 23 miles...
When he can do
per,
that, correct.
Yeah. So some of the guys, like Brian Thomas from LSU, you know, seeing him at, I think he was right about 6'3", you know, and he hit 4.34, which at that size, it matches what you see on tape. Yeah, that motherfucker runs past people.
Yeah, what I like out of the
40. You love him. Nick brought him up halfway through the season last year, and he's like, hey, where's this guy projected to go? Because he's fucking good.
He can get deep on anybody is what I said.
I think the 40 should be viewed as, I mean, look, there's parts of it. Some guys, it's just damn impressive when you see a guy actually run a 4.21. Like,
just insane.
Looks like he's
It's fun
moving.
As hell.
It's fun to watch.
I don't know what it tells you.
Or last year, was it last year or the year before with the Jordan Davis? You know, like just
oh, yeah. I love seeing that. That was incredible.
He should never have moved that quickly. But I think this idea of the 40 highlights the fact that there are...
The 40 is overrated.
There are two separate sets of evaluations going on in the entire NFL football world. There is the fan/media evaluation, which drives... And I'm thankful for it because I like reading up on all the mock drafts and articles. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But there's this stuff which drives... the mock drafts, these draft grades, the opinions, the things that we talk about. And then there's whatever is going on behind the scenes in the actual team war rooms. Because one thing we'll never know is how much the combine actually affects what the team decided to do in the draft.
Right.
You know, it could be, to Nick's point, it could very well be,
it might be a tiebreaker
that the combine doesn't move the needle on 99% of the guys for 90% of the teams in the NFL. But it also, it could. That's one thing we'll never really know. But we do know for the fans and the media, it moves that needle like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's another interesting thing about it to me. But there's some things I think you can't deny.
Well, let me say this about the 40, though. The other, the really good takeaway from the 40 is seeing the 10-yard split. You know, that's
the words out of my mouth.
Right. That's key, because I'll use former Saint Mark Ingram as an example. Ingram was not fast over 40 yards, but his 10-yard split, like his initial acceleration to hit the hole.
Yeah.
Like, to me, you know, that's huge for running backs.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, defensive ends.
And it varies.
You know,
by,
burst off of the ball.
It varies by position. Like a wide receiver, you know, 40 yards could be valuable because a go route is going to be 40 yards. It just is.
And one more nerd on Brian Thomas Jr. I want to say he had the highest speed on go routes timed at the combine this past week.
But like you said, that's what shows up when you
watch
him play.
It reaffirms what you saw on tape.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we also talked about guys who decided, based on the decision made by their camp, as they're all saying, that decided not to work out. Like Brock Bowers. You know, if he had the GPS on him, his MPH would have gotten pretty high.
It would have been fun to see that, because
honestly,
when you watch him play, just like you say, when he catches the ball, he's gone. Well, it's crazy.
He's as fast as he needs to be.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, if he had worked out and he really wanted his best numbers, he should have arranged for someone to chase him.
Yes, exactly. No, that's
like,
perfect.
Like, because when there's no one chasing him, I don't know.
If you could line someone
up.
But like, if the simulcast wasn't a fake graphic, if it was like, we're going to put a linebacker behind you.
Line up a linebacker 15 yards behind him.
Yeah.
Let the linebacker start running at him, and then let Bowers run. That fucker's going to run like a 4-2.
He'll top out the tight end position.
And look, we should talk about that a little bit too, because all these guys opting out, I get it 100% if you think your position is locked. But
Caleb, I get.
It's hard for me because you're still auditioning, right? Even Caleb is auditioning still a little bit. Now, if he doesn't want to go one, this is a really smart move because there's been a lot of that. It's really smart to give him as little information as possible.
That is a good point because he's from Washington and he's a big Commanders
guy. And then they just hired Kingsbury.
Kingsbury, his QB coach from last year from USC. That's actually a really good point. I haven't seen that brought up anywhere.
He should probably go pick up a DUI too.
You know, there's
a lot of things he could do to lower his draft stock.
Well, if he went to Georgia, he could have definitely picked up a DUI, maybe killed somebody on the way. Drag racing.
Jalen already bursted that bubble for him.
So I don't know. We don't know their motivation, but I do think, and you know, everyone's doing a pro day, I'm sure. So it's fine. They just prefer that environment now.
I don't think Marvin Harrison is.
He's not even going to do a pro day?
He is like straight up said. So these guys finish up the college football season, and they immediately start doing speed training. So they all drop weight. They start learning technique to run the 40. You know, just bullshit stuff that's not applicable to actual playing in the NFL. Harrison, from what we're hearing, it looks like it's just like, fuck this. I'm not running a 40. I'm there.
So with that being the case, if he's not even going to participate in the pro day, I think that's wild. You could risk draft position there for sure.
Yeah.
Because there are already rumors of neighbors moving past him by some people, some scouts.
Adunze's up there
Adunze
too, man.
Adunze just moved up big time for sure.
You know who couldn't?
That's risky.
It is risky. And look, I fucking love Adunze, neighbors, and
Harrison.
I love
them all. They're all awesome.
That is the best trio of wide receivers the draft has seen in a while.
We talked about it a little bit with the NFL and the idea of a family name and this little nepotism thing the NFL has going on, which is what it is. But I think if Marvin Harrison's name is not Marvin Harrison, he cannot pull off what he's trying to do.
I don't know, man.
I don't think he's so far and above. Like you just said, with neighbors and Adunze, Harrison's not. It's not.
I don't know. Caleb's pulling it off.
Caleb's pulling it off, yeah.
Because he's so far and away above.
But he's not. He's not, though.
I mean,
I agree.
But
I personally think.
But that's what we're saying. Marvin Harrison and Caleb are doing the same thing.
Yeah, and they're
Caleb
not.
Caleb did not impress this year for the most part.
It seems like the grade.
Caleb's great against when he's beating up against a smaller competition. And look, the guy has traits out of this world.
There's what we think, but I think everything all the scouts are saying is. It seems to me that Caleb is being graded
scouts
out.
Scouts are not unanimous that Caleb is higher. No. From everything that's been said, scouts are not unanimous that Caleb is
but
the number one.
But when you say Marvin has been the number one receiver the whole season, and that's never changed also. He's not a quarterback, so he's behind Caleb for sure. But
and look, that
there's been word that there are scouts who have May ahead of Caleb. There are scouts who have Jaden Daniels.
And we know this. I tend to think about those things, maybe put more stock in that whole kind of external idea than maybe y'all worry about. But I just think it's interesting that the one guy who's saying fuck it all has the same name as
I don't think either of them.
But don't you think Caleb's saying fuck it all? His dad's like, I hate this whole process.
Has he said he's not doing a pro day though?
Caleb's the one that's not sending medical records to anyone unless
he didn't
release
his medicals.
Yeah, he said he's going to do it to anyone he goes on an official visit to.
Well, because he knows that, you know.
Look, I get it. Do it if you can. You know what I mean?
Do whatever you want. I have no problem with it. I'm just saying, if you think it's even remotely close, you are risking money. You're risking money.
But I think you brought up a good point. Fuck, maybe he does want to go too.
Yeah.
It's his hometown team, man.
I didn't think about that.
That's an amazing point, and I have not seen anyone
maybe,
bring
maybe
that up.
Maybe DUI. I don't want him to risk anybody else's personal well-being. If maybe do it like on a empty road or something.
I'll just say this: Caleb is not ranked where he's three steps ahead of Jaden Daniels.
Let's put it this way: Caleb is not ranked today what he would have been last year if he was able to go in the draft last year. His stock last year was higher.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know. So. Correct. I don't think anyone passes him up. I agree with Corey. I think he is viewed. We'll see who's right and wrong, but I think he's viewed a step above still by the majority. I do think it's closer than it would have been last year. I think last year he would have been. They would have sprinted up there, and it would have been done.
You know what? You know the league has messed with the ideas to give fans more interaction and involvement and transparency. No team would ever do this, but I would love if at the end of the draft. Every team released their big board. After everybody's all picked.
That would be fun, but no one's ever going to do
that. They're never going to do it, but then we would know, right? Like, what all these little pre-draft things did to every team's evaluation.
So hold on. Let me say this. So looking at the NFL.com draft analyst, I think it's Lance Zierlein. He does a pretty good job. I love his write-ups.
Say that name again?
Lance Zierlein.
Zierlein.
Yeah. You've seen him before. He does good write-ups. Him and Daniel Jeremiah are probably the two primary ones for NFL.com. But looking at his big board, the number one player is Malik Nabers. The second player is Marvin Harrison Jr. The third player is Caleb Williams, then Brock, then Adunze. So
Caleb's
three receivers in the top five. Jaden, whose rating is, so Caleb's 6.76. Jaden is 6.73. And then Drake is 6.5.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, it's not unanimous where Caleb is this slam dunk, once in a generation guy. I think that's the fan perception.
Me personally, I'm not wholly convinced on Caleb versus Jaden.
I'm not either. I don't like his style of play. It's
sandlot football. It's backyard football, looking
right.
for.
Well, he always said his big thing is I make my game after Aaron Rodgers. That's my guy, and I get it. But you know what Aaron Rodgers does first?
Yeah.
Sits in that pocket forever.
Yeah,
Caleb. It seems to be like quick to get out the pocket, quick to. Now, you know, all that can change. His skill set is amazing.
Right.
There's
no debate. He's got every physical tool you ever want out of a QB, except maybe being a couple inches taller.
Right. Probably height. That's
But.
I'm pulling up Daniel Jeremiah just for comparison's sake, just to see where he's.
I'm just saying, if you watch, let's say you're out west and you watch Rome Odunze all year,
he's got Caleb one.
Yeah,
you can make a case he's better than Marvin Harrison. If you were down south and watching Malik Nabers all year, you can make a case he's better than Marvin Harrison.
So I think
both of their years was significantly better than Marvin Harrison's.
I think one of the overarching questions on this topic is, do y'all see a world in which the player's draft stock is not hurt by opting out of all these workouts? Does it help?
You're going to see it this year where Harrison and Caleb are not going to be. This is the test.
What do y'all think, though?
I don't think it's going to be hurt at all. I think Caleb still goes one, and I think Harrison still goes four. But it's someone on the combine coverage brought up a good point. They're like, there always has to be that first person that does
to try it,
that does the thing, like, and then all of a sudden it becomes the norm.
It's like the bowl game opt-outs. No one, 15 years ago, never thought people would do that.
I think this year is a test, but it's not an end-all either, because you don't know what that individual team in that spot is thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one team that we're talking about, and if they fell in love with Caleb and that's it, we don't care anything, then they're still going to pick them, and you're not getting any information.
Yeah, and that's where you have that line, that curtain that we'll never be able to cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of like fan/media hype, and then what the team's thinking.
Well, let's pivot to this, Corey. I know you watched just as much of it as I did. Who stood out to you? Like, give me three players that maybe you were not as high on before, but now you're like, oh my god, these guys are really, they're legit.
He's
like,
on Ladd McConkey real bad right now.
Well,
I love Ladd McConkey.
As he we've talked be about before, me guy. Having. Me being a University of Georgia graduate and fan, I've always loved Ladd. I do think, though, that he performed exceptionally well with the metrics.
4.39.
Talking about that gauntlet route we mentioned, they showed his tracer on that thing.
Yeah, he was good.
He never came off that yard line.
It
was impressive.
Who else was good? Luke McCaffrey.
Luke McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey's little bro.
Yeah.
Faster than Christian, too, by the way.
I did like what I saw at a Brian Thomas. Like, I was looking more towards the guys that are in our price range or draft range, and price range figuratively, obviously, rookie contracts. But, Thomas,
so
I think, stood out. And then, one guy I liked, because I have been keeping an eye on the running backs, I think I love the way Trey Benson ran the 40.
Oh, that's my guess.
I loved watching him, watching him play. And talk about, like, 40 versus game speed. That guy's got game speed. That guy's got burst.
He breaks long runs.
He kills the hole. He doesn't hit the hole. He kills it. And I was interested to see him run the 40 when he lined up and busted out a sub 4.4, albeit 4.39. But I did like, because he's got good measurables too. He's not one of these
big boy.
He's not one of these tiny guys.
Well, let me say this. So Daniel Jeremiah actually said it. So they were talking about the 40-yard dash as it relates to running backs. And they said basically the top 10, and I think I texted both of you this, the top 10 in yards from scrimmage last year in the NFL, the average 40-yard dash time was 4.48.
Right.
So he says this is the benchmark or the cutoff you're looking for.
Yeah.
With 4.5 is the cutoff.
It 4.5 is the cutoff. Yeah.
Always has been. Yeah.
You've got game speed if you're under 4.5.
Exactly.
Ricky Pearsall kicked ass.
Dude, he was fantastic.
And I saw him in a few games.
I'm trying to think what
the white guy from Florida,
yeah,
bro.
But every wide out across shelf name is a white dude so far. Come on, guys.
Hey.
We love Rome. With like Neighbors and Harrison are the kings of this draft.
Well, because we're not going to get it. We're talking about the guys we could actually get. Yeah.
Right. But that guy, y'all know I'm not nearly the college football guys you guys are. I watch basically SEC, college, and then playoffs, a couple bowl games. That's basically what I get involved with. Watching Florida multiple times this year, that dude made some catches across the middle and getting lit up by bad throws.
That one-handed catch was insane.
Every game there were those catches. Yeah. And I was like, man, I wonder – I'll probably text you about him. Where's he – but then he ran like 4.4 and he had a 40-plus inch vertical.
Yeah.
He blew up. So I don't know. He looked like the real deal in the games I watched. So when you see him put up those numbers, where's he projected? I didn't even
– Probably second or third. Probably third.
Is he that high?
That's
worth
a good size. He's bigger than McConkie is.
To me, that's worth a pick. Just watching the way he played.
Absolutely.
He's good. He's one of those receivers that is kind of like similar to Puka, where he's got all these physical traits, but maybe doesn't jump off the screen. Like, you know, he's not one of these top first round type guys. But he's a problem when you
face
him.
What's he not do well? No, since you watch it, I mean, 40-plus inch vertical, that's top of the class. I mean, 4.4.
Being a fan of a team that played against him, you know, I was worried about Pearsall, even with Georgia playing him. I'm like, you know, the Mark Richt days are over where we're like, we would lose to teams we shouldn't lose against. So Florida was a team we shouldn't have lost against.
How cocky y'all are now. Like, the Mark Richt days were terrible.
Well, Kirby's,
I know.
those were pretty good days, and then you just happened to upgrade, so now you're like, oh, man, bro, Mark Richt, dog shit.
That was the highlight. That was the highlight of his fucking
compared
fandom
to Kirby,
until a
I
couple
mean,
years
we know
ago.
Everyone can see the difference between Kirby and Mark Richt.
There's definitely a difference. But, like, you're like, oh, poor Mark Richt. Like, Mark Richt had a good freaking run at Georgia.
Well, it's good, but never... you know, busted through.
So hold on. Pearsall, 6'1", 189. That's real good size.
I think it's not much heavier than Ladd, but he's taller.
2 inches taller.
Yeah.
And then you got the 4.4, 140, 157, 10-yard split, 42-inch vert, 10.9.
Dude, that's all
jump.
Awesome.
Bro, he crushed it. Even at 17 bench press reps. Yeah.
And I wouldn't care about that other than seeing some of the catches he made where literally he was getting destroyed.
Right.
Correct.
And he held on the ball.
And the thing is, though, when you watch him play, you're like, oh, man, I wonder if this dude's fast enough. You know, it's like Xavier Worthy. Like, I knew he was fast. I didn't know he was this fast. Like, this is fucking fast. But
let's circle back to the Saints a little bit and say there's all these players we like, right? There's a bunch. So we know at 14 something's going to be sitting there. For us.
Absolutely. I think the primary targets you got to look at Dallas Turner, who ran a 4.43.
I mean, if he's there, I think you have to go.
I'm looking at 4.46. Chop Robinson ran a 4.48.
Yeah, but Chop doesn't have the film that Dallas does.
No, so Turner was the top defensive end.
If he's 40. There, and
he's
we don't
an edge,
immediately.
Not a true defensive end, but
you know, edge. I think.
But that's what we need.
That's what we need, yeah.
Yeah. So if he's there, for me, that would be number one. But. There's a chance one of these three receivers is there. There's a chance Bowers is there. There's a chance a quarterback's there. Well, like, if we're talking six quarterbacks now, maybe, you know, these teams panic and start picking quarterbacks because, like we said, a whole pile of them need an option at quarterback because they're not settled at quarterback.
They'd have to trade down, though. You're not going to see all those guys that go ahead of us. I think you got maybe four go ahead of us. I can't see Penix and Bo Nix going ahead of us.
Connecting it back to the combine.
But I'd love to see it.
You can't see any scenario one of them jumps up.
They would have to smash their pro day and just be like.
Who would?
Penix and Bo Nix to go ahead of us.
What I'm saying, you're sitting at 20 and you want one of those guys. And there's all these teams.
Well, I mean, look, anything's possible.
Well, get ready for Penix to smash his pro day. If he did that against receivers he's not used to, he's going to kill his pro day.
Well, hold on. I got a couple guys I want to highlight.
Do you have – wait, real quick, before we leave the quarterback thing, do we have a – so let's go through – I just want to go through the picks before us.
Okay.
And we're going to say yes or no on quarterback.
Okay.
Bears.
Absolutely.
Picking a quarterback. Commanders.
Yes.
Picking a quarterback. Patriots.
Yes.
Need a quarterback. Cardinals –
Well, time out, though.
Probably not.
There were rumors floating around that the Patriots.
Baker.
Right. Or somebody, or even Kirk Cousins, somebody right. like that. But I think the smart money says they draft a quarterback.
Most likely. Most sitting likely. At three, you're going to get, unless they just don't like whoever number three is. But
pick four is Marvin Harrison.
Harrison, almost for sure. They're going to stick with Kyler. Chargers won't pick a quarterback.
I think Chargers, you're looking at offensive lineman. That's probably where Alt goes. But maybe wide receiver as
yeah,
well.
I was going to say, because.
Some people have Bowers projected to them, too.
It's a high pick, and I feel like Jim Harbaugh...
He wants to run the ball. He's taking offensive line.
Jim Harbaugh is going to build out the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. I don't see him picking a wide receiver, or I don't see him picking a tight end there.
Giants basically said they're drafting a quarterback.
They want to move up, which right. is the word going around.
Titans need a quarterback.
I think they would ride with
You think they're riding Levis. With Levis?
I think they ride with Levis.
They wouldn't start him over Tannehill to get him more experience this year. So, but...
I think they ride with Levis. He's got a lot of potential, and honestly, he was the 33rd pick last year. He's basically a first rounder.
Titans, yeah, they're not Titans.
Falcons.
Either. Falcons. Now, if they
depends.
Sign,
right, it's going to depend on free agency. We know.
I think they're going to sign Cousins.
Yeah,
I don't.
As of today,
they would pick one if they are if in one their current situation. Yes.
Bears.
No, it's wide receiver to pair up with.
To go Caleb. With Caleb, assuming they pick Caleb. Jets, probably not, because Rodgers got one more year.
Jets feels like it should be offensive line.
They should be all in.
It should be offensive line, but it could be Bowers, not a quarterback.
I agree. Not a quarterback. Yeah. Vikings, without Cousins.
Vikings, quarterback. If Cousins leaves, yes, I could see them picking a quarterback.
Broncos, Russ is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quarterback. Raiders,
Well, here's the thing, though. You're talking about all these teams that want to trade up. Like, the word's been going around. The Giants have basically said they want to trade up.
Okay,
the
but
Raiders
let's
want
just
to trade
assume
up.
It doesn't work out for the Raiders, and they're staring at Penix, or what would you say is their biggest need?
I think they trade back if they're going to take one of those guys.
They might.
I think you trade back five or six spots, pick up a second or a third, and then you take your quarterback at that point.
My thing is, if you're the Broncos or the Raiders, and there's a quarterback there that you want to trade back to 20 to take, and there's no takers, do they take them or do they not take them?
I mean, they could. I don't think they would.
But so who did we eliminate for sure would never take a quarterback? The
we
second
said the,
Bears pick?
The Chargers, the second Bears pick, and the Titans. I think the Titans are going to – they're in on Levis.
And the Jets.
And the Jets.
So forth. So you got nine teams that you're putting in the – it's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Whatever number
– Cardinals was the other one.
Whatever number of Harrison, teams correct. You okay, project so eight, to pick yeah. quarterback, you can. I think it's likely you can subtract one because at least one of the top 13 teams – that needs a quarterback, teams in front of us, is going to do a free agent fill-in.
Right. And the other thing is these other players that would be dropping down the board in this scenario are going to be so much further or highly rated relative to the quarterbacks that these teams are not going to pass on these guys. Like, they're going to have a much higher grade on, like, a Joe Alt or, you know, somebody like that to reach for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But okay. These offensive linemen look incredible.
Yeah. So the math works in our favor.
Imagine
that's what I'm saying.
Somebody good, somebody yeah. really good.
We have a really good shot at a crazy skill player, an offensive lineman, or pass rusher sitting where we're at. To
correct.
Me, one
correct.
Of those options is going to be there. Okay. So, right?
Somebody who can make an impact should be there. We just got to pick.
And then
we got to pick the right one.
If the media stuff is true about Jaden falling, what if he's sitting there?
Oh God.
There's Jesus no Christ. Way he'll fall to 14.
There's no way.
But if he's there.
Well, we say that in Marshawn Lattimore was supposed to be the second or third pick. Remember that.
But
QB. You remember
but
that.
Yeah, but and that's what I'm saying about.
Quarterbacks are different. I mean.
Well, cornerbacks are as well. That's the second most, arguably the second most valuable, you know, is a corner.
Pass rush, tackle.
Pass rush, corner, and quarterbacks.
Tackle defensive end. Corner.
You think about the positions that have gone number
one. Those
are
the four positions.
Number one overall is pretty indicative of
those. Those are the four.
The importance of the position.
Those are the four.
They make the most money. That's how you know.
Well, I'll say this though. I got a few guys I want to highlight for our 45th pick. You know, we know we're going to get. There should be somebody.
And is this just general or based on what you saw in the combine?
In general, and whether it was backed up or not at the combine. Keon Coleman, my primary one. I think, you know, some people. I think he was on the fringe of the first round anyway, just because of the perceived lack of speed. But I've seen enough. I saw the 20 plus miles per hour in the gauntlet. Like, if he's there at 45, fucking sprint up to the podium, you know. And I actually would be fine with them trading up higher in the second round to go get him. Let's see, Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State.
He killed his workout.
Every time I watched Florida State play this year, that dude stood out.
I was
going to
say, I haven't
plays.
Actually watched much of his game film, but you have. So
I just watched the game. So I always loved Florida State. I watched them. This motherfucker stood out every game, just wrecking shit. Because they had Jared Verse, who's going to be a first-round pick at defensive end.
Right.
And then Fisk was always the one that stood out to me. But his numbers he put up for a defensive tackle are just insane. So if he's there at 45, would love to go get him. Xavier Leggett, the big wide receiver, you know, he's got some A.J. Brown to his game. Probably get picked around the same spot because A.J. Brown, I want to say, was second-round pick. You know, similar size, a short squatty. They're like 6'1", about 220, 225. And then Johnny Wilson for the middle rounds, like third, fourth, fifth round. Dude, the 6'6.5" tight end from Florida State ran a 4.5. You know, he's fast. And he's the guy I keep saying, you know, move him to tight end. And you know, he has Darren Waller written all over him if they go that route. And Trey Benson. You know, you already talked about Trey Benson. His workout just reaffirmed what you see when you watch him play. So it's going to be a fun draft, man. We should be able to get, you know, two really good players with the 14th and the 45th pick.
I like the idea generally of doing some kind of impact skill position guy in the first round, because after you get past the first round, it's all projections, and you could hit, of course, but it's so much harder. These guys in the first round with these incredible skill talents, I mean, are just home runs, knock them at the park. I think there's a lot of depth in this draft that positions a need for us. So
offensive line, wide receiver. Line,
even, you know, one guy who keeps coming up for our pick 45 is Chris Braswell out of Alabama. He had 8 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He had like over 20 tackles, not tackles, TFLs, but pressures. I mean, a lot of people were saying that, you know, if Dallas Turner had already been drafted, you'd be looking at Braswell's production like that's really good.
Yeah.
But he's kind of been overshadowed. He ran a 4.640. You know, he's the fifth fastest time out of edge guys. You know, he's him or even some of these offensive line candidates. You know, I would rather see us take an edge like him, who's super athletic, or offensive lineman we need in that pick, and then just get a sure bet all world skill guy at the first round.
I think one of the first two picks has to be offensive lineman.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I don't care if it's 14 or if it's 45.
I think you could say the same thing about edge, though. So it's tough.
Yeah. No, I still want to see O-line or edge with that second
pick. That's why the skill thing, like you're saying,
the guys that we're saying are going to be there when we pick at 14, it's going to be so hard not to pick like a
dude. They got to go get an edge at free agency, man. Go throw money at Daniel Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like that. Just
it's and we got to see how that plays out before we make any predictions. But
exactly.
I would agree with Corey on if one of like those, in my opinion, the four guys from the skill position that I put at an elite level, which is Bowers and the three receivers, if one of them's there, don't know how you. It's kind of like when Minnesota drafted Randy Moss. If he's sitting there, you just have to go take that last person that should have been off the board, you know, 5 picks ago. But you know, ideally, what's best for the team? It's probably if we got an impact edge guy there, or a tackle, offensive tackle. That's probably what for the team we have is the most important. But I don't know how you pass on one of those guys if, say, the best couple linemen and edge rushers are off the board, and one of them sitting there. Please don't reach for something else. Go take the best player that's sitting there.
Yeah, because that's the hole in our offense is a big, physical, tough receiver, whether it's a tight end or whether it's a wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, like it's like the value of that
right
is so much higher than because I have pause with as good as this offensive tackle class is, I still have pause with using your first round pick for them, given
unless it's the best one that fell to you.
If best offensive tackle in the draft fell to you, that's a different story. Right. But given our track record of very recent. I know we have new coaches and everything, but what makes you feel good about the way we've drafted offensive
linemen? You're
referring to Penning.
You're just referring to Penning.
The others
McCoy
are starters.
McCoy has been good.
They're starters. They're not.
Ruiz is a solid starter.
Ramchek was a home run.
McCoy was a second-round pick. Ruiz was a late first. A late first. And
Ramchek was a late first.
Ramchek. See, but don't paint this picture that we suck at drafting offensive linemen just because of Penning.
I'm gonna paint the picture that we all agreed we sucked on the offensive line last year, and they're all first-round picks. So why do we feel good about the performance of our offensive line with
Ramczyk, all first-round picks? Ramczyk is fucking awesome other than the injuries. That's not a whiff on our part. Since 2017?
From the draft standpoint, I don't think we've whiffed on offensive line in the draft. We were not good this year. Right. So that's the case for we definitely need offensive line, but I don't think we've made horrible drafting in the offensive line category. That's what I'm saying.
The most recent pick gives me.
The most recent one has been terrible. Yeah. But the rest of them have not been terrible.
Yeah. And look, not terrible. After free agency.
No, they've been good.
McCoy's been good. McCoy's been really good.
For a second round pick, McCoy's been fantastic. Yeah.
Ruiz Ramczyk is a starter.
Ramczyk was a home run. Yeah. Now injuries all are pro. Slowing him down. He's an all pro. He was headed towards the Hall of Fame.
Three straight all pros.
Yeah.
That's a legit pick.
I'm saying
that's two legit great picks.
Since we've made.
So that's two out of the five. Ruiz is a solid starter. He's not at all what he should be, but he's a solid. But then again, they moved him to guard. He's a fucking center coming out.
Right.
Andrus Pete, in spite of your slander of him, Andrus Pete is a good...
He turned it around.
No.
But he was a two-time Pro Bowler before this year, and this year he turned around what was going in the wrong direction.
Right. Correct. That's what I'm saying.
But that was it wasn't a great pick because we picked him in the top 15, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
15 or 16.
This is somewhere around.
Y'all are saying exactly why. I would rather see us do the McCoy route and go second round with offensive line and get someone who's going to actually change a game right off the bat.
No, 14. Because if Alt or Fashanu somehow make it to 14, well, yeah, you
except,
sprint.
Except for, like I said earlier, that's if, it, if it is the best, because Alt.
But I'm with you on that. Yeah. Like, if the two of them aren't there, because the next group of guys are primarily right tackles, at that point, go ahead and pick, you know, the edge or the wide receiver or Bowers, and then pick up an offensive tackle, a left tackle in the second round.
And look, we have to come all the way back to this once free agency's over, too.
Exactly.
And make our picks. But
exactly.
So I think we covered it.
Yeah, we covered it pretty well, you know, just talking about the combines. You guys have any other closing thoughts on the combine?
Nah, I thought it was... There was a lot to see out there this year. I think there's a lot of guys people had questions about who showed out, answered some questions. And then, like we said, it's the first year. It's going to be kind of a test case about the guys who were just like, nope, not doing anything.
Yeah.
So watch those pro days and who does them and who doesn't and see what happens.
Exactly. So I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. Thanks for listening to another episode of the 28-3 podcast, and we'll catch you on the next ep.
Hoot up. What a comeback!